Reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew. Peter approached Jesus and asked him, Lord, if my brother sins against me, how often must I forgive him? As many as 7 times? Jesus answered, I say to you, not 70 times, but 77 times. That is why the kingdom of heaven might be likened to a king who decided to settle account with his servants. When he began the accounting, a debtor was brought before him who owed him a huge amount. Since he had no way of paying it back, his master ordered him to be sold, along with his wife, his children, and all his property, in payment of the debt. At that, the servant fell down, did him homage, and said, Be patient with me, and I will pay you back in full. Moved with compassion, the master of that servant let him go and forgave him the loan. When that servant had left, he found one of his fellow servants who owed him a much smaller amount. He seized him and started to choke him, demanding, Pay back what you owe. Falling to his knees, his fellow servant begged him, Be patient with me, and I will pay you back. But he refused. Instead, he had the fellow servant put in prison until he had paid back the debt. And when his fellow servant saw what had happened, they were deeply disturbed and went to their master and reported the whole affair. His master summoned him and said, You wicked servant, I forgave you your entire debt because you begged me to. Should you not have had pity on your fellow servant as I had pity on you? Then in anger, his master handed him over to the torturers until he should pay back the whole debt. So will my heavenly Father do to you, unless each of you forgives his brother from his heart. When Jesus finished these words, he left Galilee and went to the district of Judea across the Jordan. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Yesterday, Jesus spoke to us about fraternal correction and what to do when a brother or sister wrongs us. But we're not supposed to wait for them to crawl on the ground with tears running like Niagara Falls down their face, begging for us to have mercy, that we're to go to that brother and forgive. And Peter immediately thereafter says, How many times must I do that? Because of a passage that was taken out of context from the prophet Amos, the Jews thought that they had to forgive someone 3 times, that they were obliged by God to give somebody a 4th chance. So Peter took those 3 occasions, doubled it and added 1 and said, in a perfect Jewish number, as many as 7 times. And Jesus, seeing the direction of Peter, took it and said, no, not 7 times, but 77s, which is why there's a confusion sometimes in some translation between 77 and 490, 70 times, 7 times. Regardless, the number 7 is a Jewish sign of infinity. And so Jesus was clearly indicating we must always forgive. We must always be ready to do that. And to drive that point home, he gives one of his least appreciated parables, which I think if we really understand this parable, our whole life becomes much clearer, both in terms of our relationship to God as well as our relationship to others. It's the parable of the 2 debtors. First debtor was brought in, and I hate it when the translation does this, but it just says a huge amount. How huge? The actual text of St. Matthew says 10,000 talents. A talent was a weight, and 1 talent was the equivalent of 6,000 denarii, so 6,000 days' wages. 10,000 talents, therefore, sister, is 60 million days' wages. Okay? So when he falls down on his knees and begs for time to pay it back, all he'd need would be 164,271 years. Just give me time! I will live to 165,000 years old so that I can pay you back. I won't feed any of my kids, I won't feed my family, just in order to pay back the debt will take me 165,000 years. But just give me time. And the creditor forgave the whole thing. In today's money, somebody were making $12.50 an hour, $100 a day, to make the math simple. That was the equivalent of a $6 billion debt. Just give me time. And the creditor wiped the whole thing out. And then this person who's been forgiven $6 billion goes out and he meets a fellow who owed him, says, a much smaller amount, but the term was 100 denarii, 100 days' wages, something that would require only 3 months to pay back. Again, if somebody was making $100 a day, it would only be 10,000. And the one who was now restored basically to billionaire status wouldn't forgive the chump change of 10,000, even though the 10,000 that would have been loaned would have been from the 6 billion he had received. And he threw him into jail until he paid back the last penny, until his family members worked on the outside to raise all the money to ransom him from prison. So the creditor in the parable, after having been informed by his servants, calls the first debtor in and said, "I forgave you your entire debt. Shouldn't you have had a similar mercy to the one who owed you?" Jesus drew a lesson. "So will my heavenly Father do to you, unless each forgives his brother from his heart, from the inside out." To have a heart moved with compassion, as Jesus describes the first creditor in the parable. Two concrete applications. The first is about the enormity of our sins. A lot of the times we can be tempted to think our sins are peccadillos, as the Spanish invented. Tiny little itty bitty sins. We've got to grasp that our sins are the equivalent of the U.S. national debt when it comes to God. And to always sing praises for the great gift that the Lord gives us in making us rich in mercy. Whenever he forgives us, whenever we receive his absolution, we've been restored to that unbelievable wealth. He's forgiven our entire debt, the debt that caused a crucifixion. So first, our gratitude. That's why we cantabo misericordiam tuum in aeternum, we say, "I will sing of your mercy forever." But then there's a second application. We have to pay that mercy forward. We have to recognize that no matter what anybody else does to us, it's very small compared to what we have done to the Lord. And if he had a heart bursting with mercy for us, that we need to forgive each other from a heart bursting with mercy for them, to learn the lesson that he had taught. This was the lesson, for example, that God would continually tell the Jews. As the Jews in today's first reading were crossing the Promised Land, there would be many times where there would be strangers among them, and God would tell them, "Remember, O Israel, that once you were slaves, once you were totally dependent. And therefore, learn this lesson and make sure that you're merciful to those who come among you, just like I was merciful to you in freeing you from Pharaoh." Learning that great lesson. Today we celebrate the 200th anniversary of the priestly ordination of somebody who lived this gospel. St. John Vianney when he was ordained early in the morning of August 13, 1815. It was a huge surprise. He would have never guessed that he would have become the greatest confessor in the history of the church. Little did the seminary faculty who booted him from the seminary not once, not twice, not three times would have ever guessed that they were kicking out their future patron and the patron saint of every priest who would ever be ordained until the end of time. But God's ways are not our ways. And another great irony is, after he returned home to Ecully, because of the custom at the time, priests, when they were ordained, would only receive the faculties to celebrate Mass without a homily. They would need to pass future tests in order even to be able to hear confessions. And so because he couldn't get theology into his mauvaise tête, his bad head, it was unclear of whether he was ever going to be able to go to confession. And the people kept bugging him in Ecully. Finally, his pastor there, who used to be a seminary professor, Father Charles Ballet, went to the bishop and said, "I can assure you he's ready." So he came back from Lyon, and he gave the faculty sheet to St. John Vianney and said, "You now have the ability to hear confessions." And he handed him a purple stole, and he said, "Let's go." And he went to confession to St. John Vianney then. St. John Vianney, even though he was much his junior, became the spiritual director of this great ascetic holy priest. And the people there in Ecully started to form the great lines to go to him to confession as a newly ordained priest, even though they had a very holy pastor. He became famous hearing the confessions for all the missions that were taking place, led by the Carthusians, whom the Pope asked to leave their monasteries in order to help the people come back to the faith after the ravages of the French Revolution. And after a martyrdom of waiting for 10 years in Ars for his own people to come, he would start 31 years of hearing confessions for 12 to 18 hours a day. My sisters, when most people hear 12 to 18 hours a day, we hear an incredible commitment to this great gift. But I'll just tell you, hearing confessions for 3 or 4 hours a day, 5 or 6, I mean, I've heard confessions 18 hours on a weekend at various retreats. A priest, even an ex-Harvard tennis player, I'm comatose after that. St. John Vianney heard confessions for 12 to 18 hours a day for the last 11,400 years of his life. 2 hours of sleep each night if he were lucky. So great did he experience the mercy of the Lord that he wanted to die as a martyr to the confessional to be able to enrich others with that same divine gift. And he did. And what he always tried to do as well is he tried to make his penitents and his people apostles of this great sacrament to others, bringing this great gift, recognizing that unless they were to forgive others their sins, that they would go to hell. They would go to hell not so much for their sins, but their failure to forgive others their own sins. Jesus will tell us in the Our Father, if you go back to the original Greek, "Forgive us our debts, just as we have forgiven those who are our debtors." John Vianney wanted to help them to do that, and then to overcome the monetary analogy, so that from the heart they would seek to bring this merciful love of the Lord that they had received out to others who need it just as much. Today, as we come forward on the 200th anniversary of his priestly ordination, we thank the Lord for all the graces that came from God and a man, as his contemporaries called him, from this person who was so effused with God's mercy that others began to see that mercy in his own frail, emaciated flesh. First day he arrived in Ars, which was in February of 1818. It was a very foggy and misty day, and Ars was down in the plain, and he really couldn't see where he was going, but he heard a few shepherd boys playing with their sheep. Israelites, we went over and asked if they could point him out to ours because he knew he was close. And an 18-year-old boy, Antoine Givre was his name, pointed him in the direction. And his new pastor said, Vous m'a montré le chemin vers Ars. Je vous montrerai le chemin vers Ciel. You have shown me the way to Ars. I will show you the way to heaven. She prepared to go home and then to the Rocky, Sister Michaela. We ask the Lord to enrich you with all the graces you need so that you might show the people of the Rockies the way to an even higher summit. All John Vianney did in sharing his the mercy of the Lord was to make it possible for people to receive Jesus and Holy Communion worthily. This is where the mercy of the Lord always leads us. His first Mass was celebrated the day after in the chapel of the seminary in Grenoble. And for the rest of his life, he would say, attending Mass is the greatest action we can ever do. Because it's the action of God that he gives us. Even all the torments that a martyr would suffer would be less than this. Because a martyr's actions were done by the martyr, whereas this is done by God. Today, on the 200th anniversary of his ordination, he was ordained to bring mercy and to bring mercy incarnate, as St. Faustina would later call Jesus in the universe. Let us ask the Lord to so fill us with himself that we can't help sharing this unbelievable wealth with a world that needs so to be enriched. Praise be Jesus Christ.
Now and forever.